Hi, everyone. Welcome to the MRP Tech Podcast. This is episode 90. My name is Matt, and this is the weekly podcast discussing everyday tech for everyday people. Thanks again for downloading this episode. And if you are not subscribed to this podcast, you can subscribe to it via RSS feed, either in iTunes or in your podcast player of choice. That's the best way to get all these episodes week after week downloaded right to whatever device you want to use. We try to put it out there in as many different places as we possibly can. This week is kind of a fun show, jumping right in to the topic here. So I've been really stretched thin, let's say, over the last 2 months, 3 months, with various projects at work. And I found myself going back and listening to some of these episodes, and I could tell that there was a theme here that I really wanted to get back into Linux with a bunch of different things. I really wanted to get into some Linux topics. And so over the last week or so, things sort of settled down a little bit. I could catch my breath a little bit. And I really started thinking about the next project that I wanted to discuss on this show. So I reached out on Google Plus, and the first thing that came to mind was, let's do a 30-day trial, deep dive into a Linux distro. And I put out there on Google Plus, I'd like to do this. I'd like to try a 30-day trial. And here's my ideas. I really like, I'm currently running Antergos. I really like that distro. I really don't plan on moving away from it at this point in time. I've been there. I've been using Arch and Antergos, first Arch primarily, for at least 2 years now, and then Antergos probably for the last year or so. And I really like it. But a lot of things have changed over the last year, and I have sort of stepped aside from using Linux, or not using Linux, talking about Linux on this podcast. I've had so many other things to talk about. And so I haven't really been up to date on the latest releases of particular Linux distributions that I follow. I have really just been out of the loop, so to speak. So I wanted to get back into the loop. And my first thought was maybe trying something like Solus or Elementary OS, because those offer some unique features that maybe are a little different than other Linux-based operating systems. A lot of Linux distros, you know, they're basically the same thing, just a customized theme. But there's a couple of really cool projects out there that I have tried before in the past that I maybe wanted to follow up on a little bit. So I thought I'd get some ideas from the community and see what exactly I could do out there. And I was actually kind of surprised with the challenge that Door-to-Door Geek gave to me. What he said he normally, when people ask him this question, he usually recommends, and I don't even know how to pronounce it, Slytaz Linux. I had heard of it before. I've never actually tried it. And another person out there that has emailed on the show before, Morton, also chimed in and said that if you're going to try Slytaz, you should try Slax Linux. And I'm going to talk about those two Linux distros in a little bit. So that was my goal this week, is to get back into a little bit of Linux stuff. And I got distracted over this past weekend. I was cleaning up my desk. And on my desk, I've got my System 76 laptop that I use to run Antergos. My idea was originally swap the hard drives in the System 76 laptop, keep my original Antergos setup separate, and try something new on a different SSD drive. And so I was cleaning up my desk, and on my desk I have my laptop and I have a monitor. I've got a mobile handheld radio that I always kind of keep charging or near the charger on one side. And I've got my Raspberry Pi set up with my Nextcloud instance connected to a USB hub and an external hard drive for my Nextcloud setup. And if you remember a while back around the holidays, I mentioned that I got two Raspberry Pis. So I upgraded my Nextcloud to a Raspberry Pi 3. Just took the card out, plugged it in the new Pi 3, up and running, no issues whatsoever. Now, the other Pi, I basically just installed Raspbian, hadn't done a whole lot with it. I had a lot of intentions with it, but I wasn't really sure where I wanted to go. And every so often I'd look around and I'd look for Raspberry Pi projects to see what I could either build or do without spending a whole lot of money, without getting a whole lot of more stuff. I just kind of wanted a project to work on to be able to try something new for fun. And I thought about, you know, going back and installing Ubuntu Mate on it, or maybe even an Arch-based pre-built Pi image. And then I thought, well, if I do Arch-based, then I'm basically doing the same thing on my laptop, and I want this to be different. So what do I do? And several times I came across this topic, and I just sort of brushed it off. I slugged it. I didn't want to do this. I looked into RetroPie, and it seemed to appeal to me a little bit, but it's not something that I was really super interested in. In fact, if you remember several shows ago, I reviewed the SNES Classic that came out. I happened to get myself one from Best Buy, and I wasn't really all that impressed with it. In fact, back then I knew that the Raspberry Pi could do just that. So this weekend, I stumbled across RetroPie again. And if you're not sure what RetroPie is, it's pretty incredible. RetroPie allows you to turn your Raspberry Pi or other devices into a retro gaming machine. It's built upon Raspbian, so the basically default OS for Raspberry Pis uses Emulation Station and some things from other projects like RetroArch, and helps you play your favorite arcade games, home console games, and classic PC games with basically minimum setup. It's very customizable, so that power users can configure the tools that they want to have on it. And it sits on top of a full OS, so you can install it on top of an existing OS like Raspbian or other OSs for that matter. With the Raspberry Pi, it is crazy, crazy easy to get RetroPie up and running. In fact, it was so easy to get set up, it really took less than 10 minutes. Here's what I did. So I went to the RetroPie website. It's retropie.org. And I downloaded the Raspberry Pi image. Now, the first time I did this, I used Etcher on my Mac. And using Etcher on Mac, for some reason, only allows me to boot up on actual Macs with these images. For some reason, it wasn't working correctly. And, well, let me actually take a step back. Okay. So here's what I did first. Okay. Taking a side tangent really quickly, before I even got to RetroPie, one of the things that I was actually trying out first was Chromium OS on the Raspberry Pi. Now, I did a show a while back reviewing Neverware's Cloud Ready. And Cloud Ready basically gives you a Chrome OS install, just like you would a Linux-based operating system, but gets you Chrome OS up and running, and you can sign into your Google account on a regular laptop without having to buy a Chromebook and that type of thing. I found an image for Raspberry Pi that's called Flint OS. And Flint OS has just actually been acquired by Neverware at the beginning of March. I tried to download an image. I used Etcher, and because of my monitor, I wasn't getting the screen resolution to work right. I could plug it into a TV, and Chrome OS was working to a certain extent, but I don't think the Raspberry Pi was really cut out for Chrome OS. It was very slow, and I just immediately canned that project. Some other people may have better luck with Flint OS running Chromium OS on a Raspberry Pi. It just didn't work for me. Going back to RetroPie, I got out my System 76, downloaded the Pi image, used Etcher, copied the files to the SD card, popped it in the Raspberry Pi. I also had a PlayStation 3 controller that basically wasn't being used, and I plugged it into the Pi. And first I had a little bit of trouble, and it was more user error than RetroPie's fault at all. And so I'm trying to get the PlayStation 3 controller to work, and the first thing that pops up is it configures the controller. And so I would configure the controller, and the controller would seem kind of touch and go, touchy, wouldn't work sometimes, would work other times. And I was trying to figure out what the problem is. Sometimes it would work really great. Other times it wouldn't work at all. And I was really confused at this whole thing until my wife was actually in the other room trying to do a few things on our cable box. And our PlayStation 3 just kept turning on and turning off and turning on and turning off and turning on and turning off. And it was really frustrating until I realized that the PlayStation controller was actually trying to connect to the PlayStation. So I unplugged the PlayStation 3. The controller worked fantastic. When you first install RetroPie, okay, no copyrighted games are included with RetroPie. In fact, you're not even going to see any of the emulated systems pop up because you need to install ROMs. Now, installing ROMs was actually really easy. And so here's what I did. It's there are some issues with ROMs, and I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time getting into them. The legalities of downloading these old games, even if they're old, they're still copyright in many cases. But so what I did is I picked a game that I knew for sure that I owned, and I still have a copy of it down in my basement. And this was a game that I played in college, and it was such fun stress relief at the time. Going back to the early 2000s, much like every other teenager at the time, and I'm not so much now, I've sort of fallen out of the loop of this particular fad that I had in when I was in college. I was a huge professional wrestling fan when I was in high school and in college. And one of my favorite games that I used to love to play first couple years of college was a game called SmackDown 2 and Know Your Role. And I just remember my roommate and I would spend 8 hours or more playing this game sometimes. In fact, the first time that we got it, We started playing about 6 o'clock at night, and we were up until almost 4 in the morning playing this game. And we were actually almost late to our class at 8 a.m. And we had such a blast playing this game. I downloaded the ROM just because I knew that I already had paid for it. It was really easy over the network. The RetroPie was connected to the network. It was really easy to basically on my Mac, I just downloaded the ROM, connected to the RetroPie, dragged and dropped the file, then extracted the ROM in that file. It took a little while, but it was actually a fairly easy process. Now, here's the thing. As I mentioned earlier, I bought the SNES. I bought it, the SNES Classic, and I bought it and I didn't like it. And the retro gaming part of it was fun, but I just wasn't impressed. And so I wanted to test out how RetroPie was going to work. And I decided to shoot for something a little more powerful than the SNES. I decided to download the PlayStation game. And so I downloaded it, extracted it, once I got the controller working, I rebooted the RetroPie, and immediately the ROM was recognized. I could now see a PlayStation icon because I had a ROM in there, and I got pretty excited, and I wasn't sure how it was going to work. I was expecting it to be buggy, slow, laggy, whatever, because a lot of times with these things, they just don't work right in my experience. So I selected the ROM, hit start, and the first screen pops up, the intro to the game, and I sort of just started giggling because it just brought back so many memories all at once of the college years of playing this game for hours. And the game started, all the controllers were there. I was went through and I set up a match, and here I am playing an old PlayStation 1 game on a computer monitor with a PlayStation 3 controller, emulating a game that I used to play for hours and hours and hours, and which I'm still awesome at it, by the way. It came back very quickly because it's basically the same controller from back then, and I had to send my old roommate a message immediately. You're never going to guess what I just did. And luckily I caught him at a good time. We had a good laugh over that. And it really sunk in the benefits of something like RetroPie. It was perfect timing. I needed a good laugh. And it actually worked flawlessly. I was concerned how saving was going to work without a memory card. The old PlayStation 1 memory cards. And, you know, as it went on, I could save a couple of things. I didn't play it for very long, and I haven't spent a whole lot of time on it. But a PlayStation game works great on Pi. I didn't think it was going to. And I figured, you know, Nintendo, Super Nintendo would work great, but PlayStation would probably be a little slow. So I was rather impressed. And I'm going to spend some more time researching this topic over the next few days and weeks and probably months. And I'll get back to you and on my final thought of RetroPie. But looking at this, the graphics of RetroPie, just the way the theme is laid out, it's a gorgeous theme. And they have done an incredible job putting this together. And just about any game system you can imagine, it's available for. This became one of my new favorite things. And I don't think I'm not gonna really go and download a million ROMs because I'm questionable on the legalities of all of that stuff. And if you're a little bit more up to date on this, you can send me an email, mrptechreviews@gmail.com. I'd be curious what you're using your RetroPie for, and where your favorite places to get ROMs are. I've found a few places. I'm not going to broadcast those here, but there is a great community. There's a forum. You can go and have questions answered. I've got the keyboard programmed in now. I've got the PlayStation controller programmed in. Next, I'd like to do Bluetooth. And now that I understand the issue that I had with the controller, I would imagine the Bluetooth is going to be fairly easy to program, get up and running. But this was really fun getting involved with this, and I finally have a use for that second Raspberry Pi that I had gotten around the holiday season. And boy, is this going to be fun, I think, when things are getting up and running. So far, I'm super impressed with RetroPie, so much that I almost might next year at the school with our technology club. I'm getting a couple of Raspberry Pis, and I wanted a couple of them for programming, to learn programming. I may actually leave one of these with a RetroPie installed, just as a to lure some students into our technology club and get them maybe playing a couple old retro games. Boy, is this going to be a fun project, I think. And I'm super excited to learn more about it. Just curious on your thoughts. If you're using RetroPie, please send me a message. A couple of different things before I get on with the last part of the show. You can find all my shows on YouTube, the audio podcast on YouTube. You can also find most of them on Podnuts as well, podnuts.com. We've got a Facebook page you can check out, Google Plus page. I try to get on there once in a while whenever I can. I don't have a whole lot of time to do that. The best thing to do is check out the website. And I mentioned it last time, I'm going to mention it again. I'm trying out this Amazon affiliate thing. I don't know if it's something I want to keep or just kind of have and use. If you have a second, go to the website, mrptechreviews.com, click on the Amazon link, and just buy something from Amazon whenever you get a chance. I need three people to do that in order to become a part of the program. So I would appreciate your help on that. Just go to the website, click on the Amazon link. You got to buy something. I can't just click on the link, and it doesn't cost you any extra. That's just one way you can support this show, and see if it's something that'll be successful. I do have a Patreon page, patreon.com/MRP Tech. Check that out. That has been updated recently, and I will continue to update that as well. That's the way you can support this show directly. And I would appreciate that if you do take a second to do that. A lot of work goes into this show, and I appreciate all those who do listen. You can also check out all the other shows on Podnuts. I like to advertise them as much as possible. There are some really great shows on the network. And as more and more time goes on and I start being a little more picky about the shows that I listen to as far as podcasts, the ones on Podnuts are the ones that I seem to be listening to more and more, and listening to other networks less and less, just because these hosts are great. They're nice people. They're really down to earth people. And I want to respect and promote all of them as well. And that doesn't mean I don't listen to other podcasts out there. I do. But in this case, as I have been going through and deleting old shows of old podcasts that I don't listen to anymore, the Podnuts ones seem to stick around. So you could also show your support to Podnuts as well by going to their website and taking a look at all the avenues that they have for supporting the whole network as a whole. So lastly, going back to the original topic about SlyTAS or Slacks, I've looked into them a little bit, and basically they're both portable operating systems you can install on a flash drive. You don't need to carry around a computer or a laptop. You can carry around an operating system right in the flash drive. They're very minimal installs. SlyTAS is very, very minimal, and Slacks is a little bit bigger image. Haven't decided which way I was going to go, but thanks again to Morton. He did tell me that the new release of Slacks just came out within the last day or so, and it's Slacks 9.4, I believe. If you haven't checked that out yet, go to their website, slacks.org, and give it a spin and see if it's something that you're going to use. I did download, I forget which one, and my goal is being able to use it on multiple different hardware as I plugged it in to try it out. It worked good on one of my school desktops. I tried to plug it into another school desktop, and it didn't really want to boot up on me. So I'm not really sure what happened. I'm going to come back to this probably next week and tell you what I find, and give these two a good run for their money as well. And so if you've been using Slacks or SlyTAS, let me know, and I'd be curious your thoughts on them. And I'll put them in next week's show. So that's going to do it this week for this show. Stay tuned for a lot of cool stuff coming up. I hope you're enjoying the shows. And so I'm going to call it quits for this episode. Thanks so much for listening, guys. We'll see you next time.